We have to accept that we have competitors and we have stylers.
Yeah.
This is not the same, but we can bring it together.
Yeah.
And we want to do this here in Logs.
Yeah.
Layers, the unintentional culture of snowboarding by Nitro Snowboards. For our new movie, Layers, we interviewed important people and personalities that contribute to the global community of snowboarding. And since most of these interviews were too long to show in the documentary, and they were so interesting, we created this podcast so you can enjoy them in full length. So strap in and let's go. Let's jump straight into the episode with Eero Etelä interviewing the masterminds of Locks, Reto Gyötner and Reto Poltera. This time, Reto Poltera.
The first question is pretty simple.
Okay.
Could you introduce yourself and how did you end up in Logs?
I started in Logs in 1992.
Yeah.
I come here because I want to build a snowboard dream for Logs. And I start with a snowboard shop and a snowboard school, and I was shaper. For snow parks. This was my start here.
And so you said that was 1992?
Yes.
Okay.
30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
And how did you discover snowboarding in the first place?
The first place was Hochhiebrig, near from Zurich. But this was terrible for us because I can't make snowboarding there because all the other people hate snowboarders. And then I try to find a place where we are welcome. This was Logs, because Reto Gyötner loved snowboarding, loved surfing, and this was my place, of course.
But did you use the ski as well, or how did you discover snowboarding? Like, where did you see the first pictures or the first video footage of snowboarders?
Yeah, on the 80s, I start with surfing first, and this was my dream, surfing on snow. And I was a little kid, and he was in French. And there I start with surfing with a foam, like a matrat.
Yeah, okay, I know.
Yeah. And I start surfing with this matrat on my body.
Yeah.
And I feel the waves, and I feel this feeling for surfing. And this was the first step for snowboarding. And then I start to skateboarding, and then snowboarding. And skiing, this was normal for Swiss guys in this older, 6 years old, I started with skiing. But I tried to find just jumps and powder. And this was my start. But in this time, you have no snowboards or nothing. This was so long time ago. But the surf feeling was my first impression of snowboarding.
Yeah. And so, to actually being able to live the dream from surfing and bring it to snowboarding, the only place was Logs to do it here in Switzerland.
Not the only, but here we are welcome. I feel this because Reto Gyötner, it's the roots of Reto Gyötner is also in California, and California is my dreamland. It's not just like Switzerland. It's another feeling because the roots of surfing, it's the Polynesian Islands. And surfing, it's 3,500 years of serious fun.
Yeah.
That's another story. I saw in the books of Mark Twain or James Cook the drawings of surfing. And I think from the Polynesian Islands come the culture to California, and then to Australia, and then to Europe. And I feel this feeling in the waves.
Yeah.
That's a really deep dream for me. And this we can do with snow. With snow in the Alps, in snow in the north of, in the north of the world, like Norway and Finland. And this was also a really big chance for every kid to surfing, but with snow. That's a really big dream for me. And this was also the chance here in Logs to build it up this.
So basically, you and Reto Gurtner shared the same dream of bringing surfing into Laax.
Yes.
And how did you actually make that vision happen? Like, what were the first steps?
The first steps was that we built snow parks, but also places for the kids to have the right music, the right films, the right videos, the right culture. This is like a red line, and every point in a day, if you are a snowboarder, you think, oh, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And this is really important to build it up, a whole story. Not just the park.
Yeah.
Also events and the culture. The culture of surfing, it's really, really important to build a place like Laax.
Yeah. And I think it has been really cool to see. So you have these really high performance Laax Open events, but then you also have Young Dolly's Drink Sexy Open, you know? So like, it feels like you have something for everybody. You're not only trying to please one target group, you know, you're trying to please everybody as the snowboarders. How did you come up with this solution?
Yeah, we are a big team of surfers and snowboarders and skateboarders, and we feel what we need. And this is really important that we have people and a big team in Laax every day. And if you feel what you need, then you can build it up. And the power is really important that in a management team like Laax, it's really important that you have a snowboarder in with power. If you have just snowboarders, then you can make nothing. But snowboarders with passion in a management team, then you come forward.
So you've been snowboarding roughly 36 years, right?
Yeah.
Something like this.
Yes.
So I saw you on the hill 2 days ago. What still makes you excited about going to the hill? Has something changed over the years, or is it still the same stoked as you had 36 years ago?
Still the same. Yeah. Now I love to ride with my daughter. She's a half-pipe rider, and I ride also half-pipe.
And the world's biggest half-pipe as well.
Yes, yes.
Do you get to the lip?
Yeah. I go also out of the lip, but for the moment I surf the half-pipe. And I think half-pipe, it's really culture for snowboarding because it's a wave, a double wave. And this is... These are the roots. And so I think also for the future, it's really important to have half pipes. And this is really important for every kid to feel this. It's like surfing.
Yeah.
And I think every kid in the world have the chance to feel the surf feeling. This is really important. It's good for peace and for happiness and for, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really important.
And it's cool to watch. When I went to the Laax Park a couple of days ago for the first time in a couple of years, I haven't been traveling because of the COVID, you know. And it was cool to see how the whole park actually carries that surf vibe all the way down from the top to the bottom. You know, it has all these transitions and it has a good flow.
Yes, yes.
When I grew up riding, it was all about going straight speed into one jump, hitting one rail, another. But now you have all these transitions, and I think it's more inviting to everybody to ride.
Yeah, the transition is the roots of surfing, and this make everybody happy. I think also it's really important. If you have fresh powder, everybody go to the powder. But then after 10 hours, the powder, it's for shredded.
Yeah.
And then you need other transitions. And this we can make in the park. Because the park, it's every day shaped and it's every day perfect. So it's really important for all ski areas to build it parks. For the kids. Other ski areas have nothing, flat slopes, and this is suck.
Yeah, for sure.
it's not really good.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger as well, I feel like if I wanted to go ride a good park, I would have to fly over the Atlantic to go ride in the US.
Exactly.
So I think you guys made a big change, and how do you see the importance of Laax in the whole snowboard community these days?
Yeah, I think we do it for ourselves. And then the whole community have a place to go there. The whole dream, it's important. We have a rides palace. We have a no name, a coffee no name, yeah. up to the half pipe. Then the parks, the ride parties, the ride partners, like Nitro, or yeah. Vance, Burton, Oakley. All the brands, he have the same philosophy, or the right brands for us. Also Rappel. Yeah, many others. We have to bring it together, this feeling of surfing. It's also really important that we save the world, green style. If we don't save the world, then we have no snow, then we have no waves.
So it looks like you and Reto Gurtner had a really strong vision how Laax should be. Was it hard to convince some other people around you to actually realize this dreamland?
Yes, sometimes it was really hard because a lot of people think every day what brings money. And we don't think what brings money, we think what is nice. And nice is... Yeah, this chair is nice
yeah.
because was a good designer
yeah.
or a good architect or good music artists or good snowboarders like you. That's really important to bring this culture together. That's why we work also with Drink Sexy
yeah.
or with creative brands. That's the point we have to bring it together to be better than others for snowboarders.
Yeah,
it's not just snowboarding, it's freestyle for me. Also, the skiers have the same feeling now.
Yeah.
Before 30 is not, because it was another philosophy.
Yeah. To me, it kind of looks like, or it seems like, your Laax is on its own league, you know, if you're thinking about the European resorts, park-wise and, like, I think the infrastructure-wise as well. And to me, it seems like you maybe are battling against yourself every season to get progress and get better and better. Like, where does it end? Is it ever going to end?
Every year we have new ideas. And snowboarders and the kids have every day new ideas. So this story, don't stop, never, never. We have to go forward. And my plan is to have a big, really important team. New people come in and have the same philosophy and bring this philosophy forward in the next 30 years.
You must get satisfaction about it as well. I mean, Laax has one of the best pipes in the world, probably the best. And if you look at the riders competing in the Olympics or X Games, for example, there's a lot of Swiss riders that are amazingly good.
Yeah.
So it has to be because of you guys.
Yeah, I think so, yes. I do the drawings of the radius since 20 years now for the half pipe here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the designer of the Zaug monster pipe shaper.
Yeah.
The story is this, I built the first pipe here in Laax.
When was this?
1993.
93?
Yes.
And was John Simon already riding back then?
Yes, yes. Okay. And I shape it by hand.
You're a strong man.
Yeah. But then I think it's better we build it with a bogger.
Yeah.
And then we build it with a bogger, an 80 meters long half pipe. Really nice, but you have a lot of handwork.
Yeah.
And then I saw this is not the future. It's so a long time to build the pipe. This was more than 1 week
yeah.
to build the pipe, and this was really difficult. And then we saw the Pipe Dragon from USA. This was the first pipe machine in the world, yeah. was the Pipe Dragon. And the name of the builder was Walk.
Yeah.
Walk Dog. Yeah, this was the name.
Walk Dog.
Yes. Yeah. And we imported this machine to Laax. Yeah. And this works like a former machine.
Yeah.
Because he was a ranger.
Yeah.
And he built it for the sun, this machine. And we was the first park with the Pipe Dragon in Europe. But this machine was not really good. Yeah. But the idea was good.
Yeah.
And then I go to a big factory in Switzerland to build... Snow grinders
for
airports and streets
yeah.
to blow out the snow.
Yeah.
This was a factory to make machines. Yeah, with these guys, I say, okay, can we build a perfect machine to build a half pipe? And he say, oh, it's no problem, but you have to do the design. And I make it the design. I test different radiuses, different transitions. And then this was the first transition was 3 meter 50.
Yeah.
And then we go to 450. This was the super pipe, the first. And then we go to 540.
Yeah.
This was a monster pipe. And then we do the next step to 750. This was the super duper monster pipe.
Yeah. Where does it end? Yeah.
And now we are on 7 meters.
Yeah.
And this was every Olympic Games was this radius from here, from Lux.
Yeah.
Was in the Olympic.
And so also, the one you designed?
Yes, and also the machine.
Wow.
And this Olympic now have the exactly same radius like the pipe here.
Okay.
And the same machine, and the same inclinations.
The steepness.
The steepness,
the,
yes.
The hill, yeah.
The same wideness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do this design, yeah. Yes. And this this transition is a transition from Bernoulli.
Yeah.
From Italy. It's an old, it's a really old physic guy.
Yeah.
And the Bernoulli radius is the fastest radius in the world. It's not just a radius normal.
Yeah.
It's an elliptic. And this is really, really most faster than a normal radius.
Wow.
And now you can see this pipe in Beijing.
Yeah.
It's from us, from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the design.
So no wonder I saw the whole Japanese team practicing here a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Just before their flight to Beijing.
Yeah, these guys know that the pipe in Beijing is from Lux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the story.
Yeah. So if we go a little bit back, so the reason for you to build the pipe was to build it for yourself to ride, kind of. You wanted to ride a pipe, and that's why you wanted to build one.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we wanna ride pipes.
Yeah,
and we saw the problems to shape a pipe, to build a pipe was so a lot of snow was not important to yeah. Say every season. Oh, we need so a lot of snow. So we think what we can do better.
Yeah,
and then we build it in the dirt, the half pipes.
Yeah,
so we don't lose snow. Now we have 3 meters of snow over this in dirt.
Yeah.
And with this cubic meters of snow, it's normal to say, okay, every year we can build a pipe. This was a really important step.
Of course.
And to make these machines, this was also the point that we are faster to build it.
Yeah.
And. But also the quality. Now we have the biggest quality in the world. And one super important thing is that we have Jeremy Carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he understands the machine. He understands a half pipe. He built it also half pipes for himself to ride.
I'm blown away because I feel like I'm sitting next to someone who invented the pipe, basically, or pipe building in general. Like, yeah. I didn't know this. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's for me. It's not a big story, but it's a long history here. And the point is that I do this since 30 years.
Yeah,
and it's again a fire in me, in my heart to bring it forward.
Yeah.
The next idea for half pipes, it's my idea. It's to make it safer to ride half pipes.
How would you make it safer?
I have an idea to make the cupping round.
Yeah.
Not like an edge.
Yeah.
Then if you fall on the cupping.
Yeah.
Then you have a radius, and this is much better than you have an edge.
A sharp edge, yeah, of course.
Or we go forward with airbags on the cupping.
Yeah,
the whole cupping with airbags.
Yeah,
it's also a possibility because if you fall from 8 meters on the cupping, then you have a problem.
Yeah, of course.
And I want to make the next steps is not higher pipes. I think we are on the point. It's right now, it's 7 meters, but we can make it safer.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the riders.
Yeah. So how do you feel? So your daughter is 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she's a half-pipe champion in Switzerland, right?
Yes, three times.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this? You might have some satisfaction because you love pipes, and then she's a half-pipe champion, you know, so she's kind of following your footsteps as well.
Yeah, but I don't push this.
Yeah, of course not.
It's just for her.
Yeah.
To ride half pipes, and I can see how much fun she have to ride half pipes. Yeah. She's also a surfer like me.
Yeah.
And we go surfing in the summertime, in the wintertime we ride half pipes and powder, and this is beautiful to make it together with your son or with your daughter the same.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. This was my dream to feel it with my family here in the mountains.
Yeah.
This surfing, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have a son 1.5 years old, you know?
Oh, and, great.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, but it's like, I grew up snowboarding, you know, I love it, you know, and I grew up competing as well, and I loved competing, you know, but now the current level of snowboarding, I think it's so crazy, so I'm trying to, like, figure out if I want to be telling my kid, you know, like, I think you should try to chase the dream as a snowboarder if he likes to, you know, because I don't know if I could live with it, you know, like looking at him riding in the big air or slope style, doing triple corks or quad corks, whatever it is, in 10 to 15 years, you know.
Yeah.
So do you ever get scared for your daughter?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. But I think that's the point why I want to make safety the half pipes.
Yeah, okay. That is the perfect. Now I understand.
Yeah, I one time my daughter fell from 7 meters down in the flat,
yeah.
and she broke the shoulder.
Yeah,
and this was terrible. This was really, really terrible. I don't want to have again this feeling. And in this time, I saw the problem of half pipes, but also other elements in the snow park are crazy. But the happiness of snowboarding, it's much more than the dangers. I think this is for every kid much more important.
Yeah.
So your son have to learn.
Yeah, of course.
Surfing, skateboarding, snowboarding, yeah. and then you have also fun with him together.
Yeah.
And I think then he have also a good life every day.
Yeah. What do you think? What are those special values that surfing, skateboarding, and snowboarding represent? Why do you think it's so important?
It's for everybody. And this is really important. You can have fun together. You can shred together. You make a film, you make a picture. And everybody have something special in the riding style. And so it's like surfing. If you are on the beach and you see different people surf, then you say, oh, this is a nice trick. Oh, this have a nice style. Oh, this make a nice button turn or whatever. And this is the same feeling on snowboarding. It's for everybody to have fun. This is a lifestyle. And a nice lifestyle you can have with these sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that because when I was younger, I used to play soccer, I used to play ice hockey, I was playing baseball. And I think what the difference for me in snowboarding was, it's like I had no coach who would put me in the box. Okay, you're going to play this position. This is how you're supposed to kick the ball. This is how you're supposed to score. Or this is how the way you're supposed to defense.
Yeah.
Like snowboarding was just free. I could do whatever I wanted and no one was going to judge me. You know, there's so many different ways of doing it. And I think that was the most appealing thing to me.
Exactly. This was also a big problem we have in snowboarding. You have the competitor snowboarders and you have the free mind snowboarders, and we have the possibility to bring it together. This. If you're a competitor halfpipe rider now, of course you have to go to the Olympic Games. And if the snowboarders want to go to the Olympics, then we have to work together with the FIS. And this was also a step we have to do.
Yeah.
Because the other style riders, like Yong Dori, he don't want to go to the Olympics, but is also a star.
Yeah.
And this is special in snowboarding. We can have different styles of living and of competing.
Yeah.
And this is really good for the future of snowboarding.
Yeah.
We have to accept that we have competitors, and we have stylers.
Yeah.
This is not the same, but we can bring it together.
Yeah.
And we want to do this here in Logs.
Yeah.
So we have the Logs open, but we had also a Drink Sexy mini pipe event.
Yeah.
And this is important to bring it, this philosophy together. And the P60, the snow park, this is every day. It's a show. You can stand it there and you see thousands of kids. And every kid have another style, and it's nice to look. And these guys ride together really nice. And it's not like alpine ski racing with time.
Yeah.
And every kid have to race time. This is not the same.
Yeah.
It's another feeling.
Yeah. What I think is really beautiful about snowboarding is, let's say we went snowboarding together, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I might have some challenges that I'm facing with my snowboarding, and you might have your own challenges. They're different, you know, but we're still, like, we're riding together, but we're both challenging each other in a different way, you know, and we can have fun together.
Exactly.
If you go play badminton with someone who's worse than you, like, you won't have fun playing. But with snowboarding, I think it's like everybody as a community, we can unite and we can ride together.
Yes.
But we all face our own challenges in the sport.
Yes.
And that's what makes it different to me.
Yeah, that's the point.
So if you would describe Logs in one sentence, what would be the sentence? What would you say?
Yeah, it's freestyle, greenstyle, lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's these 3 points.
Yeah.
And if you bring it together, these 3 points, then you have all these feelings in you. We want to bring the people in the nature. And this is Logs, to make it real. Also, if we have problems, we have to go to the snow. This is the important thing.
Yeah, snowboarding always was a way for me to escape the reality for a brief moment. You know, if I had some worries in life, I would just go snowboarding and everything would disappear. And it was always my getaway from everything else.
Yeah.
Like, how would you... you've been snowboarding for a long time and what does snowboarding give to you these days?
Yeah, for me, it's the big goal is to have everyday fun.
Yeah.
Every minute. I think the whole day, what's the next point to have fun? Of course, we have also problem in the time to have fun. But this is really important for the whole human world to think about what is good and what we can do this night to have fun or the next minute, the next hour. Now it's snowing. Okay, I think it's really good to make the first chairlift here.
Yeah,
and we have powder. Let's go. Let's go riding this powder. And I think this is what I can say for Logs.
Yeah.
It's not every day beautiful and sunny, but you can still have fun. And this is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really sounds like snowboarding has played a really big role in your life for the past 30 years or even more.
Yeah, that's right. Was not important for me to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
This philosophy to have a lot of money, then you have to go to Zurich to a bank or an assurance. You can work there. But then you have no time to have fun. That's the problem. And that's why I live in the mountains and I work, but I work for my dream. And this is maybe good for everybody. If you can work for your dream, this is maybe my philosophy.
That's good because like my grandparents, they used to question me when I was a pro snowboarder, like when am I gonna start a real job? You know, for them it just seemed unreal that someone can have a job that he enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really old-fashioned way to look at things. You know,
yes,
I think it's okay to enjoy your job, and I think you're doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. The time in the life, it's too short to make it bullshit, to work bullshit.
Yeah.
I think this is really important, that you can have the chance to work what you like. and to live what you like. I know this is not for everybody possible, but if you live in the first world now, then you can change your mind to work something to have peace and happiness. I think this is possible for everybody.
Yeah. How did you end up meeting Reto Gurtner? Where did you meet up? Did you know him before you started working for Lux? Or?
No. This was, 1992. Reto Gurtner heard that we have in Zurich a snowboard shop. Yeah, this was a friend of Reto Gurtner here in Flims. And he say him, hey, in Zurich, it's a couple of kids or young snowboarders. So he called me to come up. Yeah, and then we come. I come with Beat Gattiker. He was the founder of the snowboard clinic in Zurich. And yeah, we come together to Lux and we spoke with Reto Gurtner. And then we find us in 2 hours. The deal was done to make it here a snowboard shop and a snowboard school. And yeah, and I was the shaper. And yeah, this was the start of the story here.
Yeah. So what do you think? How big of a role that has freestyle and snowboarding played in the, let's say, the popularity and how famous Lux has become? You know, if you didn't have all these snowboard resources, where would Lux be today?
If you make something for young kids, then the parents like to go on this place. And this is the big goal. If you are a normal ski resort, then you have kids, I think, to 12. Over 12, it's difficult to bring the kids on the snow. And we have the infrastructure here to bring it to kids over 20 on the snow. And so we have so a lot of more families for a long time on the same place. And this is also the underground to have good clients, good guests. And this is a philosophy to bring it forward, the quality of a ski area.
Yeah.
This is really important.
Yeah.
We have so a lot of ski areas with thousands of Asian people, but not two times, just one time.
Yeah.
And it's every day you have other people. And this is really difficult then to have a philosophy like us.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Yeah. But these kids come every year in a snowboard shop like the Chop or like the Burton store or the park. We are like a big family all together. Thousands of kids and the snow park shapers and the ski school teachers, snowboard school teachers, freestyle academy. Every year the same kids and this goes like this.
Yeah.
In the Freestyle Academy training, we have over 300 kids every weekend in the snowboard training. Not just for competition, just for riding. And this is what is beautiful on this philosophy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you see snowboarding for you? Like, is it a sport? Is it a hobby? Is it a lifestyle or is it a culture? Like, how would you describe snowboarding? Maybe not for you, but like in general, how do you see it?
Yeah, it's a culture.
Yeah.
Of course. It's not a sport. It's a culture. It's a life. And we was on the 1980s a subculture.
Yeah.
But now snowboarding, freestyle, skateboarding, it's a culture for millions of kids. You can see this also in the cities. Every city has a big skate park with thousands of kids. And these skateboard kids want to go to a place with the same culture. And this is what we do, what we try to do here in Lux. We have nice waves, we have nice skate parks for snowboarders.
Yeah. So when are you going to build the wave machine for actually surfing? Is that coming one day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we've been talking about it, actually.
Yeah. We have a plan.
You have a plan?
Yeah, we have a plan to build it here in Flims, a wave.
Really?
Yes. like the Wave Garden in Sion now. Yeah, we try to do it. I don't know the way, but we tried.
Yeah.
With warm water.
So then it's officially going to be...
Middle in the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's a place with the ice hockey hall.
Yeah.
And on the side, it's possible to build a wave.
Yeah.
And with the energy to build it ice,
yeah,
you can warm up the water.
Really?
And so you can surf in the middle in the winter with 24 degrees water.
Yeah.
that's the dream of us here, of this team.
We try to do. The sky is the limit.
Yes.
I mean, your Lux is becoming Dominique California, as you pictured in the old days.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, this is the dream. But I don't know. This is a big project.
Yeah.
I think the costs are over than 20 million of Swiss francs.
Yeah.
It's difficult to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have snow. We have skate parks. We have the freestyle academy.
Yeah.
That can be a next step.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not so important that we have.
Yeah, yeah, but maybe important for you. You're the man who built the pipe. Now you can build the wave, you know?
Yeah, okay.
That would be the full circle.
Yeah. We hope that we can do it. But we have a lot of other ideas to make it also happen.
And I feel like it's really special having a big resort or a big corporation like this is, you know, and having the guys who are actually like making the big calls. They're all snowboarders and they all think the same and they like breathe the surfing vibe, you know. I think this is really special, what makes Lux Lux.
That's also really important. We have so a lot of talents here in Lux, comes from all over the world. Also you guys, everybody, every snowboard, it's important to bring it forward, this lifestyle, this feeling. I think it's a human right for every kid to can have this feeling of surfing.
I feel like that's one of the best ways to get as close to freedom as possible. You know, being out there and doing the thing that you love the most. And to me, that has always been snowboarding, and to you as well. So I'm hoping all the people in the world get to experience the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so an old culture for have fun and peace.
Yeah.
I think it's also... really cool in California. You have different people, you have different colors, you have so a lot of different cultures. And if we can bring it together to have peace, then it's a better world.
Yeah, and that's what snowboarding represents to you.
Yes.
Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought that was good. I think
perfect.
I speak terrible English.
No,
sorry.
You speak really good English.
Thank you all for listening. See you in the next episode. And in the meantime, do yourself a favor. Go snowboarding.